You're listening to Fantrax Dynasty Baseball with Nathan Dawkin.
I don't want anybody talking to me while they're making me a salad.
Van Lee.
Please direct all bar mitzvah inquiries to DJ LeMahieu.
And Ron Rigney.
I'm going to do my best to make sure that this podcast does not resemble a giant crap in the street.
Welcome to episode 10 of Fantrax Dynasty Baseball. I am Nathan Dawkin. You can find me on Twitter at Nathan Dawkin. Joined today by the pin monkey himself, Van Lee. What's up, Van?
Welcome to me. I just welcomed myself to my own podcast. I'm tired. Hello. I'm ready to do this thing we're going to do today. I'll let you explain.
Been wrestling
it.
With bowling pins too long.
As I often do, to be honest. So yeah, I'm doing pretty great. In my hand, I in fact have a $7 copy of the very best of Dawkin, which I got at Walmart. And I'm going to tell you right now that I will probably, when I go back and edit this, just delete all of your speaking and just put Dawkin songs on there in place of it. And we might have a better product. I'm not sure.
I absolutely guaranteed that would be 100% better product. Breaking the chains around me. Good song.
This is, by the way, that's number one on this CD. That leads it off. Number two is, of course, Paris is Burning live in Europe, 1982. I don't know any Dawkin songs, to be honest. So,
well, that's actually just a live recording of them burning down Paris.
Oh, okay. That explains it. From 1982. Yeah, okay, yeah.
Yeah, a little known fact that Dawkin burned down Paris back in 1982.
I really need to let you introduce our other podcaster, Ron, but instead I'm going to tell you that track 13 is, of course, referred to as Mr. Scary.
Well, what better way to lead into the great Ron Rigney than by talking about Mr. Scary?
What's up, what's up, guys? Hey, so a couple things. Number one, you said that Van is tired from wrestling bowling pins all day. That's not code for anything else. Like, he literally was wrestling bowling pins all day.
It's also code for other things, but you were accurate in your first statement there.
Okay, and I also wanted to make you guys aware this was the greatest thing that I did today, is I learned that horses can grow mustaches.
No.
Today. Yeah, I texted one of my good friends as a vet, and he confirmed that horses can grow a mustache.
But where's the, like, there's no lip. They don't have lips. It's just the nose and then the mouth hole, like, which is long.
You got to search it up, man. I can't even do it justice, but.
Okay, all right. I'll believe you. You have not pushed me in the wrong direction yet.
I need to inspect some horse lip here. I might just need to, like, take 5 minutes out of this podcast and start Googling horse mustaches.
You'll be glad you did.
Or find out that it's a lewd term and you're going to get an image search that really messes with your brain.
It's also not code for other things either. It literally means that.
Ben, just start playing some duck and I'm going to take off this podcast for a little while and look up horse mustaches.
Sounds good.
Is that okay?
Yeah, great.
All right. Well, what's your favorite animal to put a mustache on? Tweet us at Fantrax Dynasty on Twitter. You can also listen to the Nasty Cast for more redraft focused fantasy football goodness, baseball goodness, actually. We don't talk about football at all. I don't know why I said that. I'm tired. But we're taking a little bit of a break from that. I suppose we should record the finale episode sometime, maybe next week or the week after that. But then after that, it's just this show, baby, for us. We're going to wait until next year to do the Nasty Cast again. But this is all Dynasty all the time here on Fantrax Dynasty, and we'll be with you all off season. So be sure to get a hold of us on Twitter if you got any questions about Dynasty related baseball, and also follow our personal accounts. Van is at Manly Van Lee, and Ron is at The Real Made, MADAY, on Twitter. And as always, if you like the show, please leave a rate and review for the Fantrax Radio feed on iTunes. It helps us get visibility and, you know, makes us feel all warm and fuzzy inside. So without further ado, we've got one thing and one thing only that we're going to talk about today, guys. That is 2018 Dynasty Mock Draft. Hoorah!
Huzzah. Excited? I am very excited. I'm so excited I was taking a drink when you said that, and I almost spit it into the microphone. It went pure joy. Pure unfettered joy.
If you were really excited about it, you would have just spit it into the microphone.
I should have. It's always next time.
Just for that, I'm not letting you pick first. Like I was going to do.
Dang it.
Just kidding. I'm still going to let you pick first. And that's because we did one of these for redrafts for 2018 on the NastyCast only a few weeks ago. And Van, you were unable to partake in that because you were so busy wrestling with bowling pins.
That is indeed true. So, yeah, so I get to pick first, and that will also – you want me to just dive right in? Because I'm going
to
do it.
Well, let's – just to preface this the smallest bit, because we don't really have an exact plan for how far we're going to go. We got a 30-minute podcast here. Yeah, so we're just going to go as far as time permits us. And we're just going to go 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, all in order. We're not going to be building teams or anything. It's just the order that we would select these guys in 2018 Dynasty Leagues. And so we'll go Van with you at number one. And then just because I'm chivalrous, we'll let Ron go number two and I'll take number three. And we'll keep going like that.
Very good. Right. Well, my pick is obvious, of course, but it's also delightful for me as an Angels fan because I don't own him anywhere because no one will give him to me for
JD Martinez.
Hot garbage. And it is, of course, JD Martinez, yes, with his 44 home runs. No, it's, of course, Mike Trout, the greatest player in baseball, who, as of now, played, 106 games and has already gone 30-20. I mean, best player in baseball. He's 25. He has no neck. He's stout. And I would like to hug him a lot.
Can't argue with any of that, especially the necklessness. I wonder what he'd look like with a mustache.
Like a horse mustache. Not a human mustache, yeah. A horse mustache. Like you grow it on a horse, you trim it off, you stick it on Mike Trout.
He'd still be a top 10 outfielder.
Intimidation factor, I think, weighs into that too. So that would really up the intimidation factor.
Absolutely. Go ahead with number two there, Robald the Magnificent.
Well, we're going to kind of go chalk here again. I'm going Paul Goldschmidt. First base, home runs, RBIs, runs, gives you double digit steals. I mean, he's got to be the second guy in the progression here, having another great season. So pretty easy. What I'm going to do here is I'm going to go Goldie at number two.
That didn't take long for the first 30-year-old to peel off the board. I can't necessarily argue with that. That stolen base production from first base is just fantastic. But he was actually number three for me on my cheat sheet. And I went with, I will go with at number three, who was my number two. That's the minuscule Jose Altuve, who is just 27 years old. You got to love the speed that you're getting from him and the power. Just true five-category production, still entering the prime of his career. Love me some Jose Altuve, number three. So we'll go back to you for pick four, Van.
You know, Jose Altuve, by the way, I always think he's like 32 for whatever reason, because it feels like he's been playing for a long time. But no, 27. Yeah. He's a little tiny baby. So number four, this is kind of a weird one for me.
That's what everyone who's dated you has said.
Fact. Fact. There are two ways that I could go with this. I could either go superior upside or positional benefit. So I'm going to go with the superior upside, and I'm going to take Bryce Harper. I think there's a real fear of the injury bug being something that kind of sticks with him throughout his career. And I know his flaunters are going to refute that fact. But the fact of the matter is of the last, 3-4 years, he's been hurt a lot of it. And maybe he's just got thin ligaments. Who knows? Fortunately, he didn't blow out his knee, so he should be okay. But we've seen what he can do when he's super healthy, and I'm going to bank on that. And the fact that he's also only 24 is really going to put him up. The other choice, I'm going to go ahead and spoil it because Ron may do it, for me would have been Carlos Correa. He's a shortstop. He's 22. He's insanely good. So, but I'm going Harper with this one.
And I like Correa a lot, but here I'm going to go with – And we know this guy's a great player, but I don't think you really understand how great he is until you actually like dive into his numbers. And that's Nolan Arenado. When you look at Nolan Arenado, what he does, he's 26. We know he's a great defender, which doesn't help us in fantasy. But when you look at his numbers across the board, when you look at the last three seasons, he's played 157, 160 games. He's played 155 games so far this year. He's got 36 homers. He's got 129 RBIs. He's not going to steal a lot of bases, but he's not going to strike out. And he's going to have a solid slash line. He's hitting 300. And the cherry on the sundae is he plays his home games at Coors. So I'm going to go Arenado with my next pick.
I got to love that Coors Field production. I got no issue with that whatsoever. He was number seven for me. But this, again, maybe this will ruffle some feathers. I said this the same thing back when I took him on the NastyCast redraft mock draft. I'm going to take Trey Turner here at number six overall for the speed. I mean, it's just elite speed production. You're locking up stolen bases. You don't have to worry about it for the rest of your life because this is in essence, a keep forever dynasty league that we're drafting here. And he's not just a complete nothing like a Billy Hamilton and all the other categories either. So you're getting like it's seemingly like a floor of 50 steals with as many as 80, I would expect in any given year, as long as he stays healthy. And he's going to most likely hit you double digit home runs every single year, score a ton of runs leading off for the Nationals, and, you know, probably be so-so in the RBI category. So that's the one sort of detriment, I think, to his value. But, you know, the stolen base production is just so elite that I don't have any problem taking him this high.
Well, there you go. And since my pick is an obvious one here with Carlos Correa, because he's still out there, I'm going to go ahead and talk about Trey Turner real quick. And here's what I'm going to wrestle with all offseason before I finally have to make a decision, is going to be, is the power output, the power surge we've seen this year, is that the norm? Is that a doctored ball? Is that what we're going to see going forward? And if so, then the speed of a Trey Turner is absolutely going to be worth it there. It's going to be so valuable. But if it isn't, and if we see a quick turnaround and a different shift in the way the game's played, maybe we see more stolen bases and less home runs, and home runs become more valuable, I don't know. So then that makes the Trey Turner pick a little iffy for me. So that's something that I'm going to be looking at pretty hard this offseason. But like I said, at this pick right now, I've got Carlos Correa still out there. I'm going to go with him. He's an elite shortstop. Well, he's good enough at shortstop that he's going to stick there for several more years. And he's a really, really talented hitter. And he's only 22 and one of the best offenses in the game right now.
The only, I will say before we move on, because I did have him a fair bit lower in my rankings, is just that it sucks getting sort of like not a zero, I want to say, in stolen bases this early on.
Sure.
You know, it's nice having all those other categories, and obviously still super, super young. And I think he's an absolutely elite talent, but so you're not worried about missing out on the stolen bases this early on then?
Not necessarily, because I still think also in this season, I mean, who drafted Cameron Maben? And guess what? He's leading the American League in stolen bases with 30-plus. There are still guys that you can get steals from. I like your take of Trey Turner of set it and forget it, you've got your stolen bases, but I also think there are still going to be those guys out there that the only value they're going to provide to their team is if they steal a lot of bases, so they're going to try to do it. And even if they get caught, we're, as fantasy players, going to reap the benefit unless you're in a, you know, caught-stealing league that makes that a detriment. So I still think there's enough out there that I'm not quite as concerned about it. So anyway, yeah, it's fine with Correa with zero with me. And I think he could do it, but I think he's also probably going to be a 1-2 stolen bases guy at most anymore.
All right, Rob,
okay,
so
I'm going to take the first pitcher off the board, and I want to see if you guys can guess who I'm going to take.
Well, I have a guess. And then I also have a thought that you're going to go with a guy who's really good at cutting up opposing jerseys.
He is.
I'll still say Kershaw, but I'm guessing you're going somewhere else.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with Van here. I'm going Chris Sale. He is 28, so he is. I mean, when you think about a dynasty, I mean, it's still not all that old, and it's one of those things where we keep waiting for Chris Sale's arm to just launch off of his body, with the arm angle that he throws at and the innings that he throws. But I mean, you can't argue with 300. I mean, he's got 308 strikeouts. You can't argue with that. You can't argue with 13 Ks per nine, 2.9 ERA. The whip is under one. I mean, the numbers are just off the charts good. So as long as he's staying healthy, which I'm willing to take that risk, as long as he's putting up those numbers, because to me, that puts him in that category with the Scherzers, with the Kershaws of the world. And I would feel comfortable taking him before either one of them in the dynasty, because he's the youngest of the three, but also he doesn't have the issues injury-wise that you have to worry about Clayton Kershaw. Scherzer's getting up there in age a little bit. I think he's still got a couple good years at that elite level, but you get more of those elite years, I think, with Chris Sale. So I'm going to take him with my third pick.
All right. I think personally I'd still go Kershaw, but can't argue too loud given all of Kershaw's back problems that look like you know, they have the potential to be recurring. But I'm stoked that I was left with Mookie Betts here at number 9. That's who I'm going to go with. Dude is just going to be 25 years old next year. And in a down year, like a real big down year for his value, he's still hitting 265, 23 homers, 24 steals. He's going to go 100-100 as far as runs and RBI. I just absolutely love the value here. Mookie Betts at 9.
Similarly, I'm going to take your other boy, who is, in fact, Chris Bryant, still out here. I think a lot of the love of Chris Bryant has disappeared just because of, quote, this down year. Guess what? If he hits one more homer, he's still going to hit 30. He's still got 110 runs. 73 RBI kind of hurts, but it also depends on where he hits in the lineup. And I think there's some bounce-back potential here. He's still walking 14% of the time. He struck out less than 20% of the time this year. I just think he's a really elite hitter, 297, 411, 542 line. And I know he's, quote, older than a lot of these guys are, but I think he's 25. He's still a puppy.
Yeah.
And, I mean, what's not to like about Chris Bryant? He still played 600-plus plate appearances, so I'm all in for him at this point, particularly at this spot in the draft.
Absolutely. Plus, you get those dreamy eyes.
Indeed.
So, let's see. I kind of switched up what I was going to do at the last minute here. I kind of called an audible. So I'm going to go with our boy in the outfield in Houston here, George Springer. I think he's kind of figured it out at the major league level. I'd like to see, you know, last year he did play in every game. I'd like to see more of that this year. But I do like the fact that the K rate dropped a little bit this year. I don't think that the one downside with him is you're not going to see the steals that we thought we were going to see in the minors. But I think that he's going to compensate for that by being a pretty consistent 25 to 30 homer guy. And if he can be the guy that's hitting 285 instead of the guy that hit 261 last year, and he's got the 367 on base, he does have five steals. So, I mean, you like to get a little bit more out of that spot. But I think based upon what he's done the last few years, I think it's a safe bet that you're only going to get 5 to 10 because they've kind of trended downward every year from 16 to 9 to 5 this year. But he does have 30 bombs. He's got 108. Or 81 RBI. I'd like to see a few more RBIs. But I think one of the most underrated things is a lot of fantasy players, too, is they kind of underestimate run scored category. I know I've caught myself doing that a few times. He's over 100 runs scored. And so, to me, that's pretty valuable there with the numbers he's posting as far as the slash line. So I think he's a pretty solid pick here.
You know, if he did this last year, can you imagine the press he would be getting? But because he did it this year in the year of offense, like people are overlooking him. I'm a huge George Springer guy. I have loved the guy for a while. He's really come into it this year. And I think, honestly, if he explodes, he could hit 50 home runs. I think he has that power. I don't think he ever does it, but I think it's entirely possible. So 40 next year is attainable for me with him sitting at 33. And, I mean, he missed a couple of games here and there because of some weird fluky injuries. So I like to pick a lot. I think it's still probably earlier than I would have done it, but I do like it.
Well, and if we look at, he played 162 games last year, 29 homers, 82 RBIs. He played only 136 so far this year, and he has 33 homers and 81 RBIs. So he's got roughly about 30 less games, and he's got more homers and right around the same amount of RBIs. So that kind of tells you right there the season he's having.
Yeah, that's it's early for me, too. I had him down in the early 20s. Just because of the lack of steals, you know, 5 for 12 this year, that's really just not going to be part of his game anymore. And the one thing that he's really good at, power, is, you know, it's pretty ubiquitous at this point. And so that's the only reason. I do love him as well. I paid up for him in the NastyCast podcast league this year, but it's still just a little bit rich for me. And I would personally rather have my pick, who I'm going to take here at 12, and that is the young stud, Cody Bellinger, who is just 22 years old. And you guys were talking about, you know, the potential to hit, was it 50 home runs? I think Bellinger at 23 years old will have the potential to hit 50 home runs. He's got 39 in the majors this year, along with 5 in the minors. You talk about stolen bases too. He's got 10 in the majors. And if you count his 18 games at Triple A, he's got 17 stolen bases so far. So that's a part of his game too. He's going to have multi-position eligibility, as far as first base and outfield, and he's not a sucking batting average either for such a big power slugger. He gets on base a lot. He's got a 270 average this year on a 299 BABIP, so there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. And he's so young. I just absolutely love me some Cody Bellinger to round out the first 12 picks, and that's going to do it for the first half of this podcast. We're going to take a quick break, come right back, and draft some more young men. What is love? Baby, don't... Nasty. Don't...
Nasty. You're listening to the BGFS Network, where we keep fantasy real.
Welcome back to Fantrax Dynasty Baseball. We're going to continue on with our 2018 Dynasty Mock Draft. And we are back to you, Van, for pick 13. Who you got here?
Mookie Betts. More like Mookie Butts. That's how I feel about him. No, I'm kidding. I actually really like Mookie Betts. I just wanted to make a butt pun, and I forgot to do it when you said his name earlier. So we're pick 13. It's time for me to do it. I do not like doing this, and I probably would not do this in a draft, but I think he's been out there too long, so I'm going to go with Clayton Kershaw. He's number one pitcher in baseball. I know we've got some back injuries here, but you've seen what he's done these last 2 years in limited work. If he gets back to throwing 200 innings, guess what? You've got the best pitcher in baseball again. So I'll take him. He's going to be 30 years old next year. He's kind of hitting that spot where we got to start worrying a lot more, particularly with these injuries. But since he's been so good when he's pitched, I'm not quite as concerned yet.
Yeah, I still really like that value. This is pretty much the first time ever where you're going to be able to get him at the back end of a first round in a dynasty startup draft. Yeah, it sucks. He's 30 years old, like you said, with the back problem. So a little bit of a cause for concern there. But otherwise, still love the value there. Ron, who you got at 14?
Well, real quick with Kershaw at that point, too, when you think about if you get 125 and even 130 innings somewhere around there, you're still getting 130 innings of Clayton Kershaw, which is almost as good as 200 innings of a lot of pitchers in the league. I'm going to dive in here and go with the judge, Aaron Judge here. And I've kind of looked at my squad here. I'm not really going to steal a lot of bases at this point, so we're just going to try to get some power off the board here. But I was writing the other night when actually Judge hit the 50th for Fantastics the other night. I've looked at his numbers before, but when you look at the metrics across the board, I mean, the only thing not to like is the K rate. But when the K rate has an 18.5 walk rate to go with it, and it translates to a 419 on base, the 50 homers, 109 RBIs, 125 runs, he's doing everything across the board, and I don't see any reason that he can't continue to do what he's doing next year either.
There you go, Big Judge coming off the board.
All right.
More like all sit because he's gone. Or maybe
that
objection.
That was a real doubter.
Or
where's my white powdered wig?
Legal term. I don't know. I'm not a lawyer. Lawyer, by the way, not lawyer.
Law. It would be cool if he changed his walk-up music to the People's Court theme.
Boom, 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 boom. Oh, no, that'd that's Law and Order. I was close.
Bum, bum,
yeah.
Bum,
bum, down, the best, yeah, the best part of the Law and Order song, by the way, is when they get into the, like, the white guy guitar part, when it just starts going, bow, 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 and it's just amazing. It's so good.
You know what they should do as well, Judge, is up to bat. They should just do, they should make that Law and Order sound, that dun, dun. Like after each pitch, yes,
they should absolutely. The Yankees can afford it too. Like they have that company that pays for the strikeout noise. It's some whistle. They could do that for the Judge thing, and maybe, you know, buy the rights from NBC or who or whatever conglomerate owns Law and Order.
All right. Well, speaking of judges and court and whatnot, that was a theft for me because he was next on my list. So I'm going to go with the poor man's Aaron Judge, the old man, Giancarlo Stanton, who has hit only 57 home runs this year with 118 runs scored and 126 RBI. What a terrible value at pick 15. He's basically Aaron Judge, but older. I don't know what else to say.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Of course, the injury bug's the only thing you got to worry about there. Yeah. We always wondered what could Stanton do if he was healthy. Well, this is it. So if he stays beautiful. Healthy, he'll do it again. I think he will. All right, for me. Oh, go ahead, Ron.
Well, I was going to throw out, hopefully, I don't know quite yet, I'm going to try to go to the Marlins game Sunday and hopefully see closing day and maybe see him have a shot at hitting 60. So
maybe he'll hit 3 that day. That would be amazing because I think he's still at 57.
If I catch one of them and I get on TV, I will plug our podcast like crazy.
You should just scream and wave your arms around, get dragged off the field, whatever it takes.
Yeah.
What I'll do is I'll trade back the ball if he wants it, if he comes on the Fantrax Dynasty Baseball podcast.
That's phenomenal. We all need to like do a blood brother cult thing and cut ourselves and agree that we will do that if we're all at a game.
And then we have to re-record this podcast and take him first overall.
Exactly. Indeed. We'll go back and do it. So next up for me, I think he's been on here too long. I know he's had a down year. I don't care. He's still really good. He's still really young. He's still macho. He's still Manny Machado. I'm going to take him here. Even with the down season, he's got 33 homers, 95 RBI, 81 runs. And guess what? threw in 9 stolen bases. So he's really improved that 0 that he put up last year. And I think he could probably pop off a few here and there. So there you go. That's a non-0 in the category. And, I mean, really good. I like him. I think he struggled a bit this year, but I think he gets right back to being awesome.
Totally agree. I love that value here. This is, I think it's easily going to go down as the worst year that he will have for a very, very long time.
Except for that year in college. Am I right?
Hey-o. Those ears are a real turnoff. He's got, like, big wide ears. Ron, what's up? You ready?
Hey, buddy. I'm going to go a little unconventional here because I'm going to take a guy that I'm looking at mainly just because of the age and the amount of years that you're going to get solid production from him. I do like his production. It's a little down from what he was able to do last year, but I'm going to take Corey Seager here with the next one at shortstop. And I was looking at Manny Machado, but it didn't make a whole lot of sense for me to take Manny Machado if I had Arenado already, because I don't know. Manny's not going to probably retain any shortstop eligibility anytime soon, I don't believe. So not to say that I don't like the pick there. I love the Machado pick. I'm still a fan of his. But with Seager, you get a high average. You're going to get 20 to 25 homers. Like we said, he is still very young. So I think he can mature, maybe get closer to that 25 to 30 range in the home run category. He's only 23 years old. Plays in a nice lineup. I mean, they score some runs. And so look at what he does. The OBP is okay. I think it's going to go up a little bit when he kind of figures everything out. Once again, I'm kind of punting steals at this point, so I'm not going to get a lot of speed production there. I'm going to have to get steals. If we were going to continue this thing out, I'd have to go for those later on. But I think he's a solid pick here with the amount of years that you're going to be able to lock him up, because if you treat it as a true dynasty, you're going to probably have him there for about 10 years. So I think it's pretty solid at this point.
Then I'm sorry, Ron, if you heard me laugh right in the middle of your thing. I agree with the pick. I decided I was going to make a Bob Seger pun, but one that hadn't been done, like Night Moves or whatever. So I Googled Bob Seger songs, and the one that came up that I've never heard of is called Shame on the Moon. That is the best title for a song. Why didn't Dawkin title one of their songs Shame on the Moon?
I don't know. They're too busy burning down France.
Which is also admirable, sure. I mean, all the culture and all that. We don't need it.
No, I mean, that keeps you busy. Enough with all those damn baguettes.
Shame on the moon.
Shame on that moon. That is a dirty, dirty moon. I'm going to go with pick number 18, Freddie Freeman, another first baseman. He would have possibly garnered MVP votes had he not succumbed to, was it a wrist injury, I believe?
He got hit in the wrist. Yeah, I remember.
Hit in the wrist, yeah. So he's only played 112 games going into tonight, but still had 28 home runs, 8 stolen bases, hitting .312, OBP over .400. Just a rock at first base, and he's still only 28 years old, so you're going to be able to get his prime years coming right up. So how are we doing on time, Van? Do we have time for one more round, or are we going to wrap it up there?
We've got time for one more round, because I want to make this next pick, because you know what you've done, Nathan Dawkin, is you forced a positional thing where I have to react. A reaction is what that would be called. So you went with Freddie Freeman. I'm going to go with Anthony Rizzo right here, because I think he's been crazy underrated this year. 32 homers, 98 runs, 109 RBI, 10 stolen bases. He's also only 28 right now, so he'll be 29 next year. 13% walk rate. I mean, this is, I don't have a problem taking Freddie Freeman over him, because I think Freddie Freeman is really among the elite, and I was one saying that at the beginning of this year too. But I also think Rizzo needs some more love, because I don't think he's gotten it in this year that he's been kind of a little bit overshadowed. And guess what? This is the fourth straight year of 32 or 31 homers, and I mean, that's just consistency from this guy. So I like Rizzo here at this spot.
I like that a lot too. And when you get him, you know, in this offseason, in a lot of leagues, you're going to be able to play him at second base for a year because of all the stupid shifts that the Cubs do. So that's just a nice little, at least 1 year bonus, depending on your league rules and settings.
Plus a lot of pasta and meatballs. I mean, it's perfect. It's a great pick.
Anthony Rizzo.
There he is.
Always eating a meatball.
He played his second base. Hey.
You got a pepperoni for me, eh?
I was actually going to draft him next, believe it or not, to put him at second
base.
Well,
hey, you ruined it, so good job.
Man. Gosh.
Well, technically, I ruined it, but
anyway. I screwed the pooch on that one. So I'm going to end mine with taking another pitcher here. That from the list that I'm looking at here, he's kind of far down the board for me, but I think he can be that next guy that's kind of knocking on that elite level. And I'm going to take me some Noah Syndergaard here. 25 years old. You look at the first couple of seasons he's had. Made 24 starts his rookie year. He made 31 and the follow or 30 the following year. So I'm hoping that this injury is kind of not out of the ordinary for him. It's not going to be the norm. But even this year, he was still averaging 10 Ks per nine. He was averaging 10 Ks per nine in 2016. And like I said, 25 years old. If I can pair him in this rotation with Chris Sale, that's a lights out number one and two. So I like the value here with that as well.
Oh man, there's so many thoughts flowing through my head right now. I have to corral them. This is tough. Thor, yes. So I actually didn't have him on my list anytime soon. Not because I would hate the pick for if anybody were to take him here, but just I feel like he throws with such velocity, and you know everything is so nasty. And we saw him miss pretty much the entire season this year with injury. I'm really frightened that he's going to deal with injuries throughout his career. Just his style is throwing. Power and everything like that. So I just would be hesitant to pick him there, but I'm kind of like that with pitching in general. So that's just, you know, that's just kind of me. I'm always going to favor the hitter. But let's go. Oh, this is heartbreaking. What am I going to do?
Would you know what, actually, would you take Thor if like spear throwing was a category in fantasy baseball?
Yes, I think he would excel at that.
He'd be number also one. He threw it in the Game of Thrones episode. That was him. He threw a spear and killed someone else. So yeah, tops.
Oh yeah, I was a big fan of his little guest appearance there. That was my favorite episode of the season, by the way.
It was a good one.
The Luke Train battle. Oh my gosh, so good, so good. Anyway, this is, you know what? I'm just going full Homer on this one, because it's going to be the last pick that we're going to talk about. At least for today, we might have to carry this on into next week, just because there's so many more guys that are really worth analyzing in depth. But I'm going to take my boy Jose Ramirez, baby, at number 21. Yeah, going to be 26 years old next year, a ripe young lad. He's at 29 home runs right now and 16 stolen bases. And I think the only reason that he hasn't stolen more bases is because he's too busy waltzing around the bases after he hits so many home runs. 317 batting average. I don't think any of this is really too above his head. I didn't ever think he was going to be this good a hitter, but everything that he's done is, I think, just in my eyes, completely legitimate. And like I said, with the stolen bases, I've been harping on that throughout. You're getting a five-category contributor with him. You know, so many plate appearances with such a good batting average really, really help you out. It's sort of a really unheralded aspect of winning your categories is just having that batting average anchor. I'm going with Jose Ramirez there. You guys hate it?
No, love it. Great pick. He's not, just like a lot of guys I talked about, he's not getting the love he deserves in this year of offense.
And a lot of people know who he is, but like Van said, I still don't think he's getting the credit that's due. My question is for you though, where do you think in redrafts he's going to go?
About the same spot honestly, for me, I think.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, probably around the same spot.
Around the same place. Okay.
And if anything, he should get a dynasty bump just because, you know, he's so young.
Yeah.
Isn't that like a club song, the Dynasty Bump?
I think that was I think that was a disco dance in the 70s.
It wasn't by Dawkins, I know that.
No.
There's one time I was tripping on acid at the club and I saw a horse with a mustache singing that song. But
bringing it around.
Yeah, baby. All right, we're going to get out of here. This has been a really fun show. I don't know. We'll see what we do next week. I vote that we continue this on because there's so many more guys I want to talk about. But we'll see. We'll play it by ear. We'll fly by the seat of our pants. Do you have any votes that you want to do you want us to talk about next week? Do you want to input your own opinion? Well, just let us know at Fantrax Dynasty on Twitter. We may or may not listen to you. We probably won't. But anyway, we'll catch you guys next week, whatever we talk about on Fantrax Dynasty Baseball.